Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for clicking on the Holderness Family Podcast.
And we super appreciate you. Just in general.
Yeah.
And we're just glad you're here with us.
Because you're the best.
You are the best.
You guys are really the best. And we would not be able to keep doing this if you weren't listening to it. So thank you for continuing to do so.
And, you know, to be clear, in the very beginning, I thought it would just be my mom. But it's more than just my mom. So last week, we tried out a new format with our podcast where we created, and by we, I mean Penn, some segments complete with songs for each segment. Thank you so much for all your comments and your feedback on that. We really want to spread the joy around. So we hope you find some more joy with us here today. And that was the whole goal, right? Like, we wanted to be able to have permission to put these signposts in, to talk about things that bring us joy, because that's what it's all about.
Thank you also for leaving reviews when you do that. We're huge fans. We also have a call-in where you can give us suggestions, questions, and we got a really nice review via voicemail from Rose.
Hey, Kim and Penn. This is Rose Mason. I live out in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I love you guys. I love the new podcast with the joy. I love joy. I'm always in a good mood and love people that love to share and spread joy. We need more of that in our world today. Anyway, love you guys. Fell in love with you on The Amazing Race, and love everything you do. Enjoy your videos and love the new podcast. I just finished listening to it, and thanks for sharing joy with us. You guys take care. Love you. Bye.
And I promise Rose is not my mom, although that, I mean, just very kind. I mean, just, it makes me almost uncomfortable how kind that was.
I mean, she did say love, I think 42 times, and
I am
totally okay. But listen, don't you need that in life sometimes?
You know, and she did say she's always in a good mood. I am fascinated
by people who are always
in a good mood.
We'll have to get Rose on and I feel like, how do you do it?
Honestly, and that leads us to the question of the day. And so sometimes the question of the day,
there's a question of the day. Hang on.
Do you have any questions for us?
Yeah.
Here is where we answer them. We will try our best to get to as many questions as we can.
Our question of the day will lead to our call a friend segment that maybe we can even just skip the intro music.
No, we gotta play the second, the music.
Question of the day, how do I help my disorganized kid get through the week?
Oh.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people could ask that question, right?
Yeah, and so we brought in the very best person.
We called a friend, didn't we, Kim?
We called a friend.
Let's call one of our friends without telling them that we are recording them and see if they can maybe contribute to this podcast.
That
That doesn't apply.
That doesn't. She,
we definitely told her we were going to call her.
Yeah. So that's why. So we have these song segments.
I got to work out them.
We're trying to iron out the wrinkles here.
Yeah. That's just it, as a whole. That open really sounds invasive.
Yeah.
So we got to work on that one.
So our friend this week is executive functioning and ADHD coaching expert Dr. Noreen Russell.
Noreen started Russell Coaching for students in 2009, so 13 years ago. And since that time, her practice has grown to one of the largest international student coaching practices in the world.
Dr. Russell knows firsthand the exhaustion parents face day in and day out as they seek solutions for their out-of-the-box children. Her passion for providing support to frustrated parents and their misunderstood children is fueled by her own experience of raising two children who are neurologically atypical.
Russell Coaching is committed to wholeheartedly supporting the psychological well-being, the successful education, and healthy, happy family life of their clients.
We are recording this part after we have called Dr. Russell.
Yeah, but we're going to give you a little teaser right now, what we just learned.
So first of all, hang out to the very end, and you're going to have an opportunity if you wanted to work with her at a discounted price. And so definitely going to take advantage of that.
I thought you were going to say you're going to have an opportunity to hear the greatest invention of all time.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I'm teasing ahead. The would you rather an invention. That was pretty amazing. I have to say, I feel my heart is more calm.
Good.
After talking with Dr. Russell.
Mine is too. I feel heard and I feel seen. And it's always interesting when there's someone who's an expert on something that you have, it feels like they have x-ray vision and they're looking right through you in a very non-perverted way.
That
made me feel really good. Was that the wrong way to say that? Probably, but you know what?
Let's just get to it.
Yeah. A very warm welcome to Dr. Russell, and we can see her. You guys can't because this is an audio podcast. She has a million-dollar smile, and I'm so excited to get to know her better.
I'm so excited to be here with both of you, my fellow introvert Kim, and the person who makes me laugh in the dark times at my house, Ken.
Well, thank you so much for making time for some very, very important questions. So first of all, what's an ADHD coach?
What would you, to quote Office Space, what would you say
you do?
You do. Sorry, we love that movie.
Okay, I'm going to try to answer that. And I think some of your listeners may have some vague idea, but I honestly think this is one of the most important things about why I chose to start seeking to be on podcasts, because I don't think that many parents of kids who have ADHD, whether they have simple or complex ADHD, understand what an ADHD coach can do for their student. So we work with students in middle school, high school, and college. And the piece of the treatment puzzle that we do is building skills. So when you look at what the American Academy of Pediatrics says about best practices for treating ADHD, it's a multimodal approach. And coaching fits in because we're going to teach the executive functioning skills, which we can talk about if you like. We're going to teach the learning and study skills that students sometimes can be a little bit behind in. And we're going to teach the social and emotional skills. So we're going to support that student as they build the skills that are often developmentally behind when you have simple or complex ADHD. I've never watched an episode of The Office, so I don't know how I'm supposed to answer.
No, perfect. You're fine.
It was Office Space.
It was
a movie with a
brilliant
broken copy machine a long time ago.
It's yeah.
You're good. So okay,
our brains operate in movie quotes. Yeah,
that was a great answer. I guess my follow-up question to that is,
are you taking new patients because we have two kids? Anyway,
I mean, obviously this is going to apply to me as well as an adult. I feel like there's going to be a lot of things that are going to cross over. So you're going to hear me talk about personal experiences here. I want to know about your personal experience. Almost everyone who is in this field who I've met either has ADHD or has a very close relationship with someone who does. Are you the same?
Okay, so I think this is a fascinating part of my story. Hopefully your listeners will too. I actually, by nature and by temperament, am the Myers-Briggs personality type INTP.
Oh, she's a J, but you're almost
I'm INFJ. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, you're F. Okay. Yeah. And this personality type actually has, research tells us, sort of the most capacity for sustained long-term focus and attention.
Wow.
So you're opposite. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. And then I married someone who has ADHD.
There it is. Yep.
And then I had two kids who have ADHD, our oldest of whom has, I quote you directly, the most serious case of ADHD I've seen in 30 years of practice.
Of course.
Our doctor actually said I had a flaming case of ADHD when I was in college. The guy was a trip, and I think he had it.
So
as well.
isn't it funny? We have a friend who's an orthodontist, and his kid's teeth came in like backwards. He's like, of course, my kid's teeth are the worst I've ever seen. So you're telling me, as you know,
right,
somebody who has like
the
a
cobbler's
PhD,
kids have no shoes.
Yes. Like
there you
your
go.
Kid has the most extreme
well,
case.
But she'll also tell you this is genetic. It's 100% hereditary, right?
Yes, it 100% is. And let's make sure every single listener who listens to you at every point, anytime, now, for the next 25 years, knows this is not about character. This is not about willpower. This is not about trying hard enough. This is genetics, and this is neurology, and this is neurobiology and neurochemistry. And we really need still to shift, not only as parents, but in the education system, to a true scientific understanding of ADHD. And just, I don't know, maybe you can make a video about it, Penn, and get everyone to kind of understand it's not behavior, it's symptoms. Stop calling it a behavioral disorder.
Oh, I think the name is awful. This is a hill I'm going to die on. Imagine being diagnosed with this as a child. It's got three negative words in a row. Deficit, hyperactivity, disorder. Like, do you need to hit him on the head with a frying pan like that?
No.
And yeah. I think that when a kid learns this, and a lot of, by the way, I think because of the awareness around it, a lot more adults are being diagnosed too. But speaking, we'll talk about the kids here. I think hearing that, it's a very daunting name to put on a child. And to me, as I look at it from the outside, these kids are hearing like you're broken and you're broken and we need to fix you. And I think I live with somebody with, of course, like there are some executive functioning things we deal with that are hard, but there are so many great things that come with this ADHD, the creativity and the energy and all of that, that how can you have one without the other? So I think there's so much to unravel about ADHD. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about kids. It's not a character flaw. It's not their fault. It's not behavioral. It's not behavioral.
I've never heard, honestly, I've been looking into this for a long time. I've never actually heard anyone say that sentence, by the way.
It's very impactful.
Yeah.
But then my son, sweet boy, sweet, sweet boy, literally he'll pace around in the morning. Like he's not hyperactive. He doesn't fall under hyperactive, but he paces a lot. He fidgets and paces. And as he's eating his, you know, waffle with one shoe on, and I'm for 30 minutes and I'm like, dude, okay, we're leaving in 15 minutes. We're leaving in 10 minutes. What do you need to do to be ready? We're leaving in 5 minutes. What do you need to do to be ready? We're leaving in 3 minutes. Still one shoe, half of a waffle. He doesn't eat enough because he forgets. And he's just pacing around with a waffle, you know, talking to the dog. So like, how do I, without going crazy, how do I help him get his act together?
Right. Okay. Can we start at the crux of the matter?
Mm-hmm, please.
Really? Seriously?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The thing is, our kids with ADHD can be up to 30% delayed in areas of development. So what happens for us as parents, and I think, and I want to acknowledge the reality of this, although not the totality of this, sometimes more often for us as moms is, we feel this tremendous pressure to parent our child into success, right?
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, how do I teach him to eat the whole waffle and put on both shoes? And that is on me because parenting is now a verb, right? Mm-hmm. And I must get him to do this because I know that 99 out of 100 students his age could do this and get in the car in the morning. Except you know what? 99 out of 100 can't. Half those kids, their moms are putting their shoes on them, right? Half those kids aren't having breakfast. But it also sort of doesn't matter, right? And so I am a problem solver by nature, and I want to fix the waffle problem. Like, I right now am feeling called to come to your house and fix the waffle problem. Please. And the shoe problem.
About 7:15 you know, every morning.
I know what you're about to say.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let her
but the thing is, right, what do all of our children need most of all? They need to be loved and they need to be accepted. So if your son walks out the door with one shoe on and half the waffle eaten, you, Kim, are going to be in the most centered, beautiful place in that car of yours. And you're going to turn around and you're going to say, hey, bud, here's your other shoe. And that's all you're going to do, because we cannot rush development and we need to love while they grow. And I know that's not an answer to how do we put together flowcharts and visual aids and, you know, build all these executive functioning skills. But part of my message genuinely is you can't rush that process. And what so often happens with kids with ADHD is they then develop anxiety or depression or low self-esteem. Yeah. Or they get involved in risk-taking behaviors because they don't feel good about themselves. So yes, of course we need strategies, but what we need are ways to support each other to be in that place where we can say, hey, bud, here's the other shoe.
Yeah. And I that's a beautiful answer. And I pray that I can be centered enough to have that approach.
Of course you can. You've been that way with me.
I am that way, like, with you, which is funny.
Occasionally you get frustrated, but for the most part, you show me a lot of grace. I think you might show me a lot of grace because you don't feel like it's your responsibility to raise me.
Yeah, that was your mom's job.
Right.
Yeah, I have to, honestly, I think I am endlessly patient with him. Like, I think it's almost, I try to laugh it off because that's how he needs to be loved, is I need to just kind of laugh that off. And the way I need to be loved is equally as annoying, I'm sure. So like, this partnership works because I'm super annoying too.
But when we say it out loud, I'm like, how does this? It does.
It works.
Like, we love each other ferociously, but then we say it out loud and we're like, what are we doing together?
We are so annoying together. But it's so different, like, because the way I marriage ADHD is so different from the way I parent ADHD.
Can I back up just a little bit? Because I'm still, like, you know me, I'm fixating on something. I'm still fixating on, and I think, that, first of all, great answer for Kim about that. But you said that it wasn't behavioral, that it's symptomatic. And I need you to help me walk through that, because I, as a kid, did these things that I've never seen anybody else do that my son is now doing. I don't know how to call it anything but behavior. Here's what it is, okay? I used to chew on my shirt. I don't know why, but I would get, like, this like a ring of saliva, and my mom thought it was disgusting. Everyone thought I was weird. My son does it. I didn't tell him to do it, but he does it. And
also he has a tick where he's obsessively, and I think maybe it's anxiety. He checks the time all the time. And if he doesn't have his watch on, like, his watch is his comfort item.
And I have something similar. I play the piano on every tabletop you've ever seen. And during dinner, I fidget with the silverware, and Kim just loves that when we're out on a date.
It's my favorite.
Anyway, so I'm sorry, that was a long way to ask, what's the difference between that and a symptom, and why is that not considered behavior but a symptom?
Okay, so try this on for a new worldview.
Okay.
Okay. In psychology, we talk about voluntary and involuntary behaviors. Voluntary behaviors, almost being compelled to, but me choosing to fangirl all over both of you when we first got on the phone, right? That's a voluntary behavior. What did I put on to wear thinking, I don't think that they video, so I think I'm safe. I can wear whatever I want for the rest of the day, right? That's a voluntary behavior. I took my watch off because I noticed it was clanking on my glass table, right? Those are voluntary behaviors. There are involuntary behaviors that our body does. Breathing, mm-hmm. digestion, right? What we see in kids with ADHD are manifestations of their neurodevelopmental disorder that are called symptoms. So stick with me here. Stick with me. You're going to love this. When someone with allergies sneezes, do we put in the IEP plan that we need to decrease the frequency of sneezing? No, we don't. We don't say we're going to decrease the frequency of the sneezing behavior because we recognize that the sneezing is a symptom, right? If a student has asthma, we don't put in the IEP plan that we're going to decrease the frequency of the wheezing in class, right? So I think where we really took a wrong turn in truly understanding a brain first mentality when it comes to ADHD and other neurodevelopmental disorders is when we say behaviors, what it brings up for most adults is, oh, this is a voluntary behavior.
Which we can correct by just, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Just stop
right.
doing it.
You can correct, you can control. And then what gets further confusing about that is because executive functioning and symptoms naturally ebb and flow during the day and over the course of days, it can look to some adults as if, oh, well, look at Penn. He didn't chew on his shirt yesterday. So therefore, I can expect him to not chew on his shirt today, as opposed to, oh, well, you know, again, going back to our allergy example, the pollen is really high today. The stress for Penn is really high. He has a spelling test today. And so there's going to be a lot more shirt chewing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does that start to make any sense?
Oh, my gosh. No, it like, listen, first of all, I believe that paradigm shifts are sometimes very important, and it's hard to do in medicine, right? Because there's books, and the books say, here's what you got. There's doctors who say, here's what you got. Here's how you fix it. So like what you're suggesting is a paradigm shift in the way that we look at the disorder. I think you made a lot of sense explaining kind of the best way to deal with it. And I think after what you just said, Kim is thinking about that shoe and it's more like a sneeze, right?
Yeah.
Are you following this?
No, I absolutely am. Hey, hang in there. We're going to be right back.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
My kid has, and my husband, have symptoms, and I totally agree with what you say. That right now, our school system, they do the best they can. My mom is a teacher. I love teachers. Doing the best they can with what they have. Like, I'm not going to put this on teachers, but it's the, yeah. It's,
they haven't been given the right direction from the leaders, though. That's what
And they
seems.
Don't have the
yeah.
tools. They have, you know, 25 kids in the class that are all different abilities and scales, so I'm not going to put this on them. But it's the system right now is not set up for a kid with ADHD. Right. So, but my question is right now, our kids do have to function in a world that doesn't fit them. Right. So I can be understanding about this, but my kids have to, and the kids of people listening to this have to still be able to meet the expectations of the outside world. So what do we do?
Yeah.
So, right. This is where we need our team in place, okay? And this is where, Kim, you and I, we're going to get up. We're going to have as much coffee or whatever it's going to take to go in and have the same conversation over and over again. You're sending me notes about his behavior. What I want to talk about is what is the level of symptom in the classroom, right? So that I can understand that, so I can take it back to the medical professional and to the other team members, right? So the first thing that we need to do in helping our kids is really become advocates where we're okay with that in our heart. I myself never got in trouble in school. Okay. I literally never got in trouble.
Me
in
either.
School.
Yeah.
At two, my son got a like incident report in nursery school. And all it is like a way of, we want to make sure that you understand what happened today. You know, it's good communication, right? Like,
right.
Of course it has to be an incident report. When your child climbs up the 6-foot bookcase, hops off the 6-foot bookcase,
yeah,
into the sink, and then climbs in the cabinet under the sink, right? I mean,
yeah, you need to know. You need to know. Right.
I was mortified, right? Like, we don't do that. We being some extension of myself, me, mm-hmm, I don't do that. So therefore you, my children, will not be getting incident reports. Bawling in the parking lot. I think it literally took me until my son was 10 or 11 to be so grounded in, you know what? This is how it is. I am your advocate. This is what my role is as your mom, right? So I think the first answer to this, how do we help our kids? Because they do have to live in this world, is we also have to advocate for creating space in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's one piece of it. The second piece, I think, is for us as parents, because this is a lot of what the American Academy of Pediatrics says, is the solution is in parent education and parent support. Therapy is actually not a go-to evidence-based recommendation from the American Academy of Pediatrics.
I didn't realize that.
But parent education and training is. So then we say to ourselves, you know what? We have a kid who might be 30% delayed, and he or she is going to get there. And so maybe they don't fit into this world right now. Maybe they're chewing on their shirt in fifth grade. Maybe they're wandering the halls, you know, in middle school, and they get every single note about every single missing homework assignment. And maybe in high school, you know, they're still a little bit lost. But we tell ourselves, what are the strengths of our child? I personally keep a little note on my phone and in my dresser drawer about what are my children's strengths. Because, you know, those ADHD kids can make you insane. They can make you insane, especially for someone like me. I love my peace. I love my calm. I want to be in this Zen space. And I have two ADHDHHHHH children, right? And so how do we hang on to what are their strengths and how is that going to serve them as adults? And we stay in that space so that they know, you know what, I'm going to be fine. Maybe I got a C on every science test in high school. Maybe I never took an AP class in my life. Maybe I was in a co-teach class for every single English class. And you know what? I am still a worthy person and I am here for a reason.
You, these are all great kind of 30,000 feet observations. I'm thanking you for it. I think it's important that you understand those first. I know that as a coach, though, you have to get down to nitty gritty and you have to get down to specifics. So without being too specific, can you tell me what some of the most successful hacks are that you've come up with when you're trying to help get people through the day when it comes to executive functioning?
Yes. Absolutely. I can. Okay. So first of all, let's talk about how do we help kids be successful at school? The solution is not in a planner. Okay. Can we all just say that together?
You ready? The solution is not in a planner. Okay.
Okay. The solution is in the planning, not the planner, right? So I don't know if you know these moms. They're the moms who buy every single possible planner.
That's me. Yeah.
That's you?
Yeah.
Okay, right. As if the planner has some magic thing in it. It's not the planner. It's the process of the planning. So what we do at Russell Coaching in our method, which is called Connected Coaching, is we walk through with the students each and every time we meet with them. okay, in this class, what's the next deadline? What's the goal for that deliverable, really using kind of grown-up career language? Is it to get an A? Is it to get a C? Is it to pass the class? Is it to make it through the test without crying, right? What's the goal for that deliverable? And how do we work backwards so that you can achieve that goal that you set, right? So I don't care. It could be an A in an AP class. It could be an A in a co-taught class. It matters not what the goal is. But what matters is the process of sequencing backwards the planning, right? And then writing that down somewhere, which we have a planner, but we're in the midst of developing our own app, which is really pretty exciting. And then following those steps, but then having support for those steps, right? So what all of this executive functioning stuff comes down to is really doing the skill over and over and over and over again. Where I think we wish it could be is in telling the skill, right? Well, you need to write that in your planner. Do you have that written in your planner? Do you know when the next test is? It doesn't matter if you know when the next test is. If, you know, final exam on May 15th, does it translate into, okay, by May 13th, I need to know all this, drop dead at the level that I want to get the grade at. That means that I need to break down each chapter into study sessions. That means I need to find my Quizlets or find my other tools and do that on, you know, the 9th and 10th. That means on the 8th, I can't go out, you know, and stay up all night, right? And so that, I think, is the most valuable part of what we do at Russell Coaching, is this backwards project management planning with kids and teaching them, how do you get to a point where you can do that, but then not assuming that once they know, they can do, right? Because ADHD is a disorder of doing, not knowing. So then how do we provide support for that? How do we provide gentle reminders? Remind me what your goal is again for this test that's coming up on Friday.
Right.
Remind me where you felt like we could get off track this week in getting, you know, your resources together for your term paper in AP history, right? And the process of having them say it and think it means it gets seared into the brain over and over and over.
Not only that. I'm sorry to interrupt. Not only that, but I'm just sitting here thinking about how the ADHD brain works. We're dopamine hunters, right? Like, we want those little hits of like getting something right or getting something done. We don't have enough of it. So I think that in just intrinsically, your method works for this brain, the brain that's listening to you right now. Getting to hear a goal and like what you want in the end, that's that big dopamine hit at the end. And then those little checklists along the way, it's one of the reasons I like lists. There's these little just kind of hits. It's why we're addicted to video games. So what you're doing is you're giving these steps along the way, and you're also giving them the ability when they're reminding you what they're really doing is getting a question right in a test. So it's that little mini dopamine hit that they're getting. So I think, and I'm sorry for interrupting. I hope that was a good kinetic interruption, which we learned about in an earlier podcast. But I do think that the actual structure of your plan works well for this type of brain.
And you know what the other dopamine hit is?
I'm listening.
It's the connection,
yeah.
Right? It's the connection, right? I have a coach who isn't my parent, who understands me and gets me, who I can say, I'm worried that I'm going to get caught up on Snapchat and not get this rough draft done. You're right. Snapchat is a ton of fun. You're right. Yep. I can totally see where that would be much more appealing than writing out, you know, the history of responses to World War II. Okay. So there's that affirmation piece of course, Snapchat is more interesting than that for most people. I mean, for me and maybe for you, Kim, we were all about getting our drafts done.
Exactly.
I don't know. And then also when then the student says, but I know I have to get this done. And then the coach says, so what you want is to be able to get this done. That's what you want right now. You want to get this done. Yes, that's what I want to do. Okay, how can I support you? What can you do in the next 10 minutes? What can we get done in the next 30 minutes, right? So you have those little dopamine hits of the connection and the understanding and the empathy, along with the, I got the right answer.
I have to say, my approach to like homework and parenting and schoolwork has been, and maybe I'm doing it wrong, has been like homework, if you need help, obviously come ask a question, but the teacher needs to know if it's over your head. So if you can't do it, that's kind of like that you're on your, not, I mean, I hate to say like you're on your own, but I can't sit there for 3 hours to help you with your homework, right? So I have to say I have left, and we're talking specifically about my son. He actually does really well in school. He actually has pretty good grades, but he's getting by on the fact that he's so naturally smart. There's going to become some effort. Effort's going to be needed here soon.
Oh, yeah, tell him about the show and the work.
Oh my gosh.
He never shows his work. He's like, this has to, you have to hear this a lot.
Well, so like he's in an advanced math class. He's so smart. Like I look at this stuff. I'm like, are you kidding me? I can't do that. And he writes down the answer. First of all, it's all on a computer too. So he's drawing it on a computer, which is just insane to me. You need a paper. But it's show your work. And he's like, why would I show my work if I know the answer? And so his brain just skips all of those steps. And I'm like, dude, because the work is the important part anyway, but that's, yeah. So I don't actually oversee homework, but so what you're saying is perhaps, but he has missed stuff. So perhaps I do need to sit down with him, or should I just put this in the hands of the professional and have a coach do it?
Okay. The first thing we would have to do is say, is there a problem? Right? I mean, if he's getting reasonably good grades and he is getting enough sleep and he is psychologically healthy, then there's no problem. Okay.
So yeah, he's like, I have friends that are on ADHD medication. He hears us talking about ADHD because we just want to be really honest with the stuff we deal with.
He's not been diagnosed, by the way.
Well, yeah. So our pediatrician is like, yeah, I can look at him and say this, but just like you said, he's doing well socially in school. He's fine. Like he has some executive functioning thing. Do we need to put him on like medication? Probably not, because he is doing okay. So I know there's a whole spectrum of this, but he has asked, I think it would be easier. I have trouble paying attention in class. I have friends on medication. Can I start getting on medication? And I'm like, now, I'm not opposed to it. If my kid needs medicine, he needs medicine. But do you work with folks that are medicated, unmedicated? Do you see both sides of this?
So we very much as a practice adhere to what the American Academy of Pediatrics best practices are for identifying, diagnosing, treating ADHD. And the white paper is from 2019, and it's a reiteration of earlier papers, and the practices haven't changed that much in terms of best practices. So what the American Academy of Pediatrics and all of the science around ADHD says is a multimodal approach is what is most effective for the vast majority of kids. So that's medication, parent training and education, a school plan, and when we get to the teenage and college years, skills training. So as a practice, we're not medical professionals. We don't diagnose, we don't prescribe. That's not our role. We are, however, advocates for students' well-being. And so often what happens is parents don't really know what the best practices are. You know, a lot of ADHD treatment is kind of like, you know, you go to one of those, what's a good example? Okay, you go to the Village Inn and there's like 25 different things you can have for breakfast, right? You got the blueberry pancakes, you got the pecan pancakes, you got the waffle, you got the eggs, you got all this stuff. That's a little bit what ADHD treatment in this country feels like to me. Oh, well, you can try this, you can try this, you can try this, you can try this, as opposed to a consistent scientific message that says, these are the three components of multimodal therapy. So we do a lot of education and we do a lot of coaching of parents to say, you know, if your child's not doing well, these are the questions that we would suggest you take to the pediatrician, to the psychiatrist, to the neurologist, right? And so I think our role is really bridging the gap between what parents know and what they should know.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does. And we get the question a lot because Penn has put it out there that he has ADHD from concerned moms who are like, was he medicated as a child? You know, what was that like? And I almost hesitate to answer it because I don't want to be the person that, you know, influences somebody either way on using a medication. And again, not opposed to it at all.
We're also not doctors. I think doctors are supposed to prescribe medication, not me.
Yeah.
I have heard the term multimodal before. I don't think that anyone has ever gotten through it with just one of those tracks. I know many people who have gotten through it without medication, but I don't know the answer as to whether that made it easier or harder. What I do know is that if you feel like there's a problem, you should at least try it, right? And see what happens. For me personally, and this is my personal story, and the medicine was different back then. This was the mid-90s. When I took it, I felt a pretty significant like shift in my core personality. That actually made me more unhappy personally than the success that I was having in school that I hadn't had for several years. Isn't that weird?
But you graduated from college because of it.
Oh, yeah. No. I would not have a diploma on my wall if it weren't for the medication. So that's important to know. I think what happened next was I just found a job where spacing out was useful. Like I was a video editor and a short copywriter where I needed to, you know, my skill of getting bored, I had to get off the medication at that point, right? And I know that's a very unusual job to have. That's my personal story. But I do love seeing when there are people out there who find a calling that lines up with what their brains have. And I also, you know, there's not an unlimited number of those jobs. So I just feel very fortunate to have found one.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think that for us is a vital part of our model also. So in our process, we start every coaching relationship with trying to understand where the strengths and weaknesses with executive functioning and learning and study skills, but also what are the strengths? Because, mm-hmm. right, as all of us as human beings, we have to figure out what those things are. We know the entire business world has moved to a strengths-based approach to management, right? Now discover your strengths, right? You know, we are all about strengths. And so I couldn't agree more with you. And it's perhaps even more vitally important for kids with ADHD and kids with complex ADHD to really clearly know what are your strengths. So can I tell you a quick story about my son and his strengths?
Please.
Okay. So my son is really not gifted in math. Okay. He can do math. He's perfectly capable to do math. It takes him so long to do math and it's so painful. And you can just see there is no innate math ability in his brain. So a year or so ago when we were, you know, fretting about math and math grades and math tutors and how are we going to get through this? And I was like, okay, Noreen, it's okay. All we need to do is 6 more years of math and then we're done with math for the rest of his life. Like
yes!
We can do 6 years of math. But you know, I looked at him and his name is Ethan. And I said, Ethan, buddy, here's the thing. The way that you're going to change the world and the way that you're going to impact people has nothing to do with your math abilities. What you're going to offer this world and what you have already offered this world at the tender age of, he was 12 or so at the time, is you have a heart that's two sizes too big. Mm. And you are going to change the world because you care and because you love. And ultimately, really, math is going to be so irrelevant to your life. So yeah, we're going to figure out a way to get through math, but no part of not being good at math should get anywhere inside your soul because you, my love, my son, my precious child, are already changing the world with the gifts you have. And that's true for all of us, but it's just so much more important for our kids with ADHD. And especially if there's another thing like autism or depression or anxiety, we have to be so clear in our messaging about what are your strengths? Instead of all this compensatory, oh, we're going to teach this and we're going to teach this and we're going to make this happen and we're going to get, you know, all the homework done and we're going to get our teeth brushed every night with 100% accuracy. Like, oh, like it makes my head explode.
Well, that is so beautiful and so true. And tell Ethan that I got through math. And I've never looked back. I think I burned my last college. For some reason, I had to take college algebra, like in college. And like nothing was more upsetting to learn. I had to take one more math class as a journalism major. But I'm sure they're over that now. And his world is going to be just fine. Because I've never cried so hard as when I had to do math.
I just spaced out during some of that story because I was noticing that she said strengths a lot. Did you know that that's the longest one syllable word in the English dictionary? Oh, and what is wrong with me that my brain went there while you were trying to tell this sweet story about your son?
I was near tears over your sweet story.
No, I caught the end of it and it was adorable. Oh, but then I started thinking about my Mathlete contest because she was talking about math. Like I was all over the place in my brain there. And I'm just trying to be honest and tell you that, you know, we've been talking for 40 minutes now.
No. Maureen and I have a connection here. Okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Dr. Russell, do people age out? So you say you deal with like middle school, high school, college. Do people age out of ADHD? Does it look different as they get older? Like what? I mean, it looks different because, you know, he's in his 40s and it's different, but is it not as severe that you notice?
Right. What current research would tell us is that somewhere in the 20s, about half of the people outgrow significant symptoms.
Okay.
So about half at the current stage of what we know from research end up kind of the symptoms sort of go away, mm-hmm. you know, and half get to keep their energy and their creativity and their ability to have their brains going in a million different directions when they're on a podcast with
there's a lot of buttons. It's a very colorful audio board over here. Yeah, it's very distracting.
Let the record show that she's laughing over there. Okay. Can't hear her, but she's a silent laugher. Okay. So we're good. Okay.
I'm smiling.
Yes. She's smiling. Okay.
Yeah. So we don't know, but we don't know how to predict that yet. We don't know what the predictors are. Are you going to grow out of it? Are you not going to grow out of it? Mm-hmm. Are you going to need medicine in order to successfully manage your life and avoid, you know, being that great percentage of people with ADHD who, you know, don't finish college, who don't hold down a job, who get into financial trouble, who, you know, and so we don't know that much yet about how to predict that.
That's a fair answer. I mean, to that end, we do know ADHD, like a lot of things, is a spectrum. And we had this shirt because, you know, it said like ADHD is awesome and has a squirrel on it. And it was very popular and a lot of people bought it and a lot of people bought it for their kids because we wanted specifically kids who got that diagnosis in probably a pediatrician's office in this very sterile environment who came very scared. We wanted them to know like the strengths and superpowers they had. But we did also get a lot of kickback from people saying, it is not awesome. I haven't been able to keep a job. I haven't had a long-term relationship. Like, so there are some super not awesome parts of this that
doesn't mean you can't make a t-shirt.
Well, I know it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum.
You know what you should do is you should make the t-shirt on one side that says ADHD is my superpower and on the back or on the front or however you want to position that. You know, like ADHD is my diagnosis or like, you know, ADHD, you know, something. So you show the flip side of it. There would be some really smart person with a great sense of ironic humor who would get it.
Who would get it.
Yeah.
Well, if I could make a shirt right now, it would say ADHD is awesome. And then I would strike out the words ADHD and I would come up with whatever name we're going to do to change this name. And I'm sorry I keep harping on this, but I ask everyone this question when they come on with us. Give me a better name. What's a better name?
Yeah, well, I mean, we already know. Russell Barkley says it should be executive function disorder.
Bingo. Or even delay, right? I've had someone recommend executive functioning delay. Right? Because then it's not a disorder. Because you mentioned delay before. EFD. Like, that's pretty
EFD.
Easy.
EFD.
Yeah.
You're the second person. The last woman we talked to said executive functioning delay. You're saying executive functioning disorder. As someone who has it, that's
an executive. It sounds very like fancy and businessy.
Yeah, I'm an executive.
An executive.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
and you're delayed. You're not broken. You're delayed. Thank you. You have been very helpful. And it is. I will try to remember your words tomorrow morning at around 7:15 when he's pacing around the kitchen table with a half of a waffle. And then he'll get like tired and jittery and moody because he hadn't eaten all day. But anyway, are there, you know, before we let you go, are there systems, are there things we should have in place as a parent to help support our kids?
Okay, so let's do just a couple quick tips.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm a huge fan of sheet protectors with lists on them. Okay. So get the sheet protector, make the list of what the kid needs going out the door. If the kid can make the list, even better. But probably you're going to have to collaboratively do that.
He could check it off though.
Yeah. Like,
we love checking off lists, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and the sheet protector is great for that, right? Because you can kind of wipe it off every day, right? The list can stay in. You're getting me, Pat, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what a sheet protector is. Yeah, is that like a dry erase board?
Yeah. Well, okay, it makes it like a dry erase. Okay, yeah. It's like a plastic. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a plastic sleeve.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a clear plastic sleeve. You put it in there, you tape it up on the door, and then you use your dry erase marker over that to make your little box and your check marks, or you draw a line through sports equipment, soccer shoes, two soccer shoes,
right? Water bottle, snack. Yes.
Right, right. All the things. And then instead of engaging in the constant remindering, which makes everyone in the house crazy.
Remindering.
Yeah, I do a lot of remindering. Yes.
Right. You're just going to point to the list. Right. And you're going to train your kid. Okay. This.
Yes. Yes. And just, yes. Just going down the list.
Clap, because they got it and they're going to feel great because they got the easy win. Oh, I don't have any socks today. Oh, I forgot this part. I forgot that part. I'm going to go get it. Oh, I don't have, you know, my signed test from the 37%, you know, whatever it is. Okay. So that's one. Sheet protector with the list to go out the door. Second thing, I believe every single family needs an in-out box in the kitchen. You know how your kids come home and they need that stuff signed, right?
Yeah.
And then they need to take it back to school. Do you know what happens when I ask kids, why didn't this get signed? Well, I didn't know how to give it to my mom. She wasn't home after school. I don't know where it goes. So get those old-fashioned, Kim, I know you know.
Yeah.
Tray,
oh, yeah, yeah. Right? I'm sure we have them in our house right now. Yeah.
And tell your kid, listen, if you need me to sign something or you need money for the field trip or whatever, you know, you need the syllabus signed for the lab class, it goes right here in the parent inbox. And then when you're done, you put it in the outbox. And you know who's responsible for it then?
The kid.
Oh, I love this. We're taking things that have become digital and turning them back into analog.
Yeah,
like, well, these lists instead of like the phone reminders. I think this is a great idea.
The school though, like they just got an email reminder to like log into the portal. I'm like, oh God, I can't.
You're a huge fan of the portal.
Anyway, okay, continue. Yes.
Okay, all right. The next thing I would say, like quick tips, is keep at your house a place where the extra school supplies are. So somebody out there is going to have the kid who chews on every single pencil, right? Definitely. And never has a sharpened pencil. Do yourself a favor. Get a cute little basket if you're a cute little basket person. Get a garbage bag if you're a garbage bag person. It doesn't matter. But know exactly where the extra loose leaf paper is and exactly where the pens are and exactly where the extra highlighters are. And on Saturday, not on Sunday night, please, for the love of God, people, not on Sunday night. On Saturday, say, hey, I'll give you $5 if you'll go through your backpack and clean out all the stuff that doesn't belong in there and restock your school supplies.
I think we could do that without offering $5.
I would say that would.
But I love this idea. I love this idea.
Before winter break or the winter break, Christmas break, like the day before we're going back to Christmas break, I sniffed the backpack.
The sandwich?
There was moldy food and water bottles and hoodies.
Dr. Russell is making a face. This is not a visual medium. Dr. Russell's face is not, she's not
happy
about this.
Two hoodies that had been like smushed between like a sand. Oh my gosh, it was so disgusting.
Yeah, there were two articles of clothing between an opened
item of food.
Yeah, that was moldy, and oh my gosh. And also
back in the day before we were like the international student coaching practice, right? Like back in the day when I saw students at my little desk here in Tampa, Florida, which I don't do anymore, I would literally, we would take all the things out of the backpack and we would put them by course, and then we would dump the backpack either on the table or just directly into the garbage can, right? Because there's the crumbs, there's the shredded pencils, there's the papers. And I have learned to acquire a fairly high tolerance for disgust, but the backpack and the smell, can we just not?
No. You're saying
Febreze for the backpack?
Oh my, they honestly, for backpack, they should come, like they have scented garbage bags now. They should have like just a scented backpack. That's so gross.
Like, we don't say it on air. Let's do it.
Let's invent it.
So it would be like a backpack, like a little sticky freshener that you put in the inside of your backpack? Okay.
Hang on,
do I need to play my stupid inventions music?
So he has a new segment of like what he would invent. Hold on. He has to find the stupid invention of music. Hold on.
Here we go. So we've got an invention idea with Dr. Russell.
Ben's stupid inventions with no clue how to make them. It's Ben's stupid inventions. He really only half baked them. It's Ben's stupid inventions. Please promise that you won't take them. Cause he's kinda lazy and hasn't really started on any of these yet.
Our invention of the week, thanks to Dr. Russell, a little sticky freshener that goes inside your disgusting child's backpack.
Or just a Fabrac pack that it just comes.
Oh, the backpack comes with it.
The backpack is built. The fabric is anti-stink, which would then we'd have to get with science people to just turn down that music.
No, it's the music's the best part.
No. So that is the Fabrac pack.
Two inventions. We have the Febreze type insert, and we have the Glad trash bag model for backpacks. I mean, we're done, really.
Yeah, we can retire.
You mean like a disposable liner that you throw away and then...
You're making this too hard, Penn. Listen. In that plastic material that the backpack is made out of, right? We are going to adapt the science from the scented garbage can.
Yeah, the scented garbage liner science.
You pull that garbage bag out of the box and you put it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Thing, and it smells.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Totally. Yes. I've accidentally purchased them.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
It doesn't matter.
He doesn't do the shopping. Oh. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the garbage bag itself smells like lilacs or mountain breeze.
It's a lot. I have to say, it's not my favorite, but yes, it's better than rotting banana.
For a backpack?
Yes.
We're going to take that plastics technology of how they put that in the actual garbage bag. Wait.
She has an example. Excited. Okay, Dr. Russell has left the Zoom meeting and has run it.
She's run away.
You know, she's reminding me a little of myself right now. I love the excitement.
Okay. She has a garbage bag.
Yeah, you got a garbage bag. She's holding a garbage bag. Hang on,
The garbage bag itself.
We need to get a screenshot of this.
Smells.
Yes.
That's what your wife is proposing for the backpack.
Yes.
We're going to embed the yummy smell in the backpack.
And I think we're going to say NDA. Everybody say out loud, NDA, non-disclosure agreement. And I think in the patent office, that works. I'm pretty sure the patent office is like, you're fine because you said NDA. And so there's our invention.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to all be billionaires.
Billionaires, guys.
We'll make sure and cut you a check, Doc. Thank you for your idea.
I feel like we're partners.
I'm cutting you a check. Whose idea was this?
This is 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna need each other on this. This is so funny.
So thank you so much. Oh, should we do the Would You Rather game with her, or is that just us?
I don't think we need to put her through that.
You don't want to do this?
Okay. We do Would You Rather every week with our kids. But I just actually did a podcast on for attitude, where I talked about using Would You Rather in developmentally appropriate ways. So what Would You Rather do you use with elementary, with middle, and with high school?
Oh, okay. So then we've got to do it.
Hey, it's time for everybody's favorite weekly game. Yeah, both of these options are unbearable. Gotta choose one, even though it is terrible. Let's play Would You Rather, starting now. Hey!
Okay, good. All right.
Okay.
These opens are so bad, by the way, but they bring me a lot of joy.
Okay, Dr. Russell, Penn Holderness, would you rather speak all languages, which I love that idea, speak all languages, or be able to speak to all animals?
Mine's easy.
What do you think, Dr. Russell?
Who gets to go first? I get to go first.
You could do the guest, yeah.
Speak all languages, hands down.
Really? Yes. I mean, it's very tempting because we've done some travel recently and it is pointed out how ignorant I am and that I speak English and like
just Americans in general,
high school Spanish. Yeah. And like, I'm very jealous of the people who speak a lot of languages.
So are you going to go with that?
I think I want to talk to animals.
Yeah, me too. It's not even close. And it's more of a survival thing. Like, let's say I'm in the Serengeti and there's a tiger, or let's say I'm swimming in the ocean and here comes a great white. I want to be able to say, dude.
And you think they're going to listen?
Yeah, they'll be like, holy crap, this thing knows what I'm thinking. And then like we would strike up a relationship and then that shark would become my friend and would protect me in future swimming endeavors.
And they would probably find you charming.
I think that I just want to talk to my dog like all the time. I want to know.
Oh,
like,
God, Sunny.
I know. I'm like, I wonder what she's thinking. Is she happy?
She's very happy. And you think that she's sad because she doesn't move.
She's just very lazy. Dog, I want to know.
So here's the thing, Dr. Russell. We live in a house and we work in a house and our dog never gets to sleep. We're always here. Our dog just wants to lay down.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's our dog.
Okay. Well, Dr. Russell, thank you for being such a good sport about all of this. And so where can people find you and find more information on your coaching and everything?
So Russell Coaching for Students works with students across the United States and Canada.
Okay.
So if all you heard was Dr. Russell's in Tampa, we don't live in Tampa. That's the wrong conclusion.
Yes.
We work with students across the entire United States. We work with middle school, high school, and college students. The website is russellcoaching.com. Mm-hmm. We have a great Instagram that we just are so super proud of because it's totally homegrown and we don't pay anyone fancy to do it. And we just love it. And we really try to offer this same earnest, heartfelt, brain first kind of perspective on the Instagram. So Instagram is Russell Coaching LLC, and you can call our actual office and talk to an actual real person.
A person at
212-716-1161.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a landline.
I know. And
holy
by the way, I just
moly.
Went and followed you on Instagram. I see your Instagram feed and it's adorable. You're correct.
She's very excited. I'm going to show you. She's doing jazz hand. She's very excited about her Instagram feed.
And I'm going to check it out. And so we're going to put all that information in the show notes and we'll put it in the blog that'll, you know, go along with this podcast. So if you're driving, you don't have to pull over and rewind and stuff. So we'll make sure that's all in there.
For your listeners.
Yeah.
For your listeners, my personal email is... For your listeners,
okay.
Dr. Russell, Dr. Russell, two S's, two L's, Dr. Russell.
So there's two R's in a row. DrRussell. I gotcha. Okay. Because people can forget that second L.
Two R's, two S's, two L's.
Yep.
Yes. Okay,
you
she's
guys
nodding.
Are just such geniuses.
She's nodding.
At russellcoaching.com. Okay. And for your listeners, right now at Russell Coaching, what we're doing is we are registering kids for our summer programs, which are designed really to help kids be successful as they launch into middle school, high school, and college. And so I don't know when this episode will drop, but if it drops before summer, we would like to offer your listeners a 25% discount off those coaching programs.
This is really nice.
Well,
thank you.
I'm such a fangirl.
Well, if it gives our people a discount, we love it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
thanks. And then for people who maybe tune in a little bit later in the fall, then we would like to offer 20% off the first 3 months of coaching.
That is incredibly generous. You've been generous with your time and now with your services. And I think I'm just so thankful for people like you who are advocating for people like us. So thank you.
You are so welcome. It has been truly, I think, the best part of 2022 to actually get to sit and talk with you. So thank you for having me. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you, Kim, for carving out space for all the moms who are introverts and just hate having conversations. And Penn, thank you for making me laugh.
This has been awesome.
I feel really good about myself right now. So we're just, I'm going to hang up on her now
so we can have
this feeling.
Okay. And just have hold on. It we're going to, thank fine. You. You're the best.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
That was cool, right?
Like, that was amazing.
What was your biggest takeaway?
I need to chill.
I mean, she said it in a much sweeter way. She said, you're going to, with a full open heart, you're going to bring him that other shoe.
And I have to say, I do. I am very,
I think so.
I'm very forgiving on, I've driven kids lunches who've forgotten them. I've driven, like, I am endlessly patient with that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think a lot of what's going on is going on inside your head. You're not even manifesting it outwardly, but I do think it's a good reminder just to, like, even for your inner self that, like, this is, it's not, it's a symptom. It's not behavior. It's something that he is. And, like, don't make him feel ashamed of it.
And there's something that I have felt and I've thought, but I've never said out loud and admitted it, which is I do treat your ADHD differently. And again, our son hasn't been diagnosed. Our daughter's not been diagnosed. We just, like, assume. But I treat that differently than I parent. Like, I treat it different in marriage than I do in parenting.
It's because you expect me to already have gotten it all fixed.
No. That's, but I'm much more forgiving of you.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Are you? Yeah. He's like, okay. He's like, if that's
we're going to visit that in a later podcast.
Okay. Anyway. So last week we started new segments.
Yeah. You just heard a few.
Yeah. And I think we could go on to our favorite things.
Funny TikTok videos that she's rocking, scarves for her necklines and dresses with pockets, stuff she discovered and joy that it brings. These are a few of Kim's favorite things.
It's for both of us. I had it just as you.
Okay, so my favorite, if you saw, we did a video last week, by the time you're listening to this, about our Costco trip. I don't want to say weird because a lot of them are cultural. So they are things that we're exposed different than we're normally exposed to. Again, Costco didn't pay us. In fact, it was the opposite. We bought a lot of stuff. It cost us money to do that video.
We did, and we went there without any permission from them.
I know. We shot it real quick. We're like, hurry, shoot it.
It's amazing what you can do with an iPhone these days.
We bought something called... It's jamón ibérico. It's an Iberian ham, and it's a type of a cured leg of pork. It's produced in Spain, and it is salt. It's just cured with salt. So it's just like pork and salt.
Let me jump in here. It's a giant leg of a pig. It looks like someone ripped a leg off of a pig and cooked it and put it on our counter.
They didn't cook it though. They just stuck it in a vat of salt
Massive.
Yeah, for like a year.
Yeah.
So it looks like prosciutto, but prosciutto's Italian. So this is a Spanish cut.
Similar.
And it's just this whole, and then I called it counter ham because I'm like, it just sits on this, you had to assemble this whole wooden structure. You have to go watch this video. And then I've been doing Instagram stories because it's very, people are very invested. And then it comes with a knife that I'm pretty sure is going to cut a finger off in my house, and you
very
shave
thin,
off
long knife.
Yes, you. The intent is you shave off these like just paper thin slices of this ham, and it's just like it's like counter charcuterie at all time. And Anne Marie, who works with us, her sister in law lives in Spain and actually sent us a video, and she's like, "Yeah, we just kind of eat off it all the time." And the one she had on her counter was like picked bare. So it is, you just leave it on your, it's like, so we call it counter ham, which I hope is not offensive to the Spanish culture, but we're calling it counter ham. So
why would that be offensive?
Because there's probably a proper name for it, but counter ham is my favorite thing this week.
Okay.
What's excellent. Your favorite thing?
Well, first of all, I love the counter ham too.
Yeah.
I've used it to really kind of, ham is good on everything. I added it to a shrimp salad. I thought about putting it in my coffee this morning, but I didn't. I just ate it by itself. My new favorite thing is called Duo Trigordal.
What is, oh God.
It is Wordle for ADHD. It is, go to duotrigordle.com. It's 32 Wordles all at the same time, and you only have 37 guesses to get all of them. So what that means is, like, each time you put in a word, you have to see how close you are on 32 other Wordles. And it seems impossible, but if you get through a lot of the words and possibilities in your first two or three wrong guesses, you only have to get five wrong guesses. And I've gotten to the point now where I can get it with only two wrong guesses. I've never gotten it with just one wrong guess, but I'm getting closer. Like, last night, I was, like, down to getting it on just one guess, and I made a mistake. And you didn't hear me because I got home late and I went to the guest bedroom. I said a loud potty word because I was, like, really, really close. Anyway, it's a total waste of time. If you have time or a good way to shut your brain off at night, Duo, try Gordle.
Okay.
They did not pay me for this.
Yeah. So I think that wraps our podcast for the week. We covered a lot.
We did. It was longer.
It was longer.
You probably needed maybe a couple of carpool runs for this one.
Yeah. Thanks for hanging in there for us and with us. Love you guys. And let us know what you think.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.